Now we come this morning to the last two principles. We need to take those desires, lay them before the Lord, and we need to exercise wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom and guidance, and then make a plan for decisions based on wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. When we look at non-moral areas, God gives us many principles of guidance, and we need to follow those principles. They are principles of wisdom. And then we need to also use common sense and prudence in the areas that the Bible does not specifically address, and we need to be wise. The problem that gets people into trouble is they don't exercise wisdom. Pure and simple. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8. It says, if you really want to care about yourself, and you really want to love your life, and do things that are going to benefit you, which is what it means to love his own soul, then you better seek wisdom. The opposite is true. A person who doesn't care about himself plays the fool. For the opposite of wisdom is playing the fool, being foolish. If you care about yourself and you care about your life and you care about the fruitfulness of life as you toil and labor to build into your life good things so that you can have the benefit of it as you age, you need to have wisdom. And he says, get wisdom, which means seek it, hunt it down, find it, and then live it. And then he says, which is really a parallel expression there as he brings it to full orb in Hebrew poetry, and he says, he who cherishes understanding what life is about, understanding the situation, understanding the issues that your decision is going to touch on, understanding everything about this situation that you're going to make a decision about. If you cherish understanding it, rather than closing your eyes and saying, well, I just want to do it. If you cherish understanding, you will prosper. And that's a general statement. But whenever you see Proverbs, they are always general statements about your general life, and you will prosper. Because wisdom brings prosperity. That doesn't mean you're going to be richer than any rich person on earth. It means that in your life, when you do things, you will have prosperity in your relationships. You will have good relationships with your family, with your children, with other people. You will have basically good finances. You may not be rich, but they will bring prosperity in terms of fruitfulness. You will have some of those things. Why? Because wisdom breeds that. That's a general statement of our life. It is amazing to me how many people are not committed to wisdom. They make decision after decision after decision, never once ask, is this the wise thing to do? What God says is, first you need to seek for it, and the place to begin is to pray for it. But what is wisdom? Well, J.I. Packer, in his book, Knowing God, defines wisdom in this way. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal together with the surest means of attaining it. It is the ability to perceive what is the highest goal and highest meaning within the will of God, the best, the one that will bring the greatest benefit, and then figuring out how to get there in the surest way so that you actually accomplish that goal. The first thing about wisdom is you have to be able to figure out what is the greatest benefit. This is where a lot of people fall down. They can't figure out what is the highest benefit in any given situation. But one reason they can't is because they don't seek it in terms of understanding how God sees things. Because in order to understand what is the highest goal, the most, which is simply the greatest benefit in your life, is to understand what benefits you. And God has lots of wisdom about what benefits us. The second thing is we have to be able to figure out what will get us to that goal. What is the surest means to attaining what will benefit us? Wisdom means that we are able also to understand the issues, the situations, the people, and what will be the consequences when we make a decision. You know, often in counseling what I do is I sit there and I help people clarify the issues. That's what I do a lot of. and I clarify the issues. I clarify the relational issues, the financial issues, or whatever, and I use the scriptures as the way to clarify them. And what often happens is once you see things clearly, the decision often is already made. We're just confused about what's really happening. If you're going to have wisdom, and we teach our kids this, you need to anticipate the consequences. Only a fool makes a decision that he knows is going to destroy his marriage, his family, his relationships, his job. Only a fool does that. You need to anticipate the consequences. It's amazing how many people will continually do abusive or extreme behaviors that will only lead to ruin, and yet they keep on doing it. You need to be able to anticipate the consequences, and then wisdom says, don't do it if it's going to destroy. Only do it if it's going to build. That's wisdom. Life is like making a garden. You've got to plant it and cultivate it and build it and develop it if you want to bear the fruit in your later years. If you don't build into it properly, you will bear the fruit. Now, sometimes we can't anticipate what's going to happen. People have free will and all that. But we have to do what we are able to do. And God will bless what we are able to do in this fallen world. But we have to first want it. And we need to do four things. And number one, we need to pray for wisdom. Look at James chapter 1, verse 5. The number one prayer in terms of understanding how to make decisions in non-moral areas where God has not revealed His sovereign will in the details of our lives is to pray that God will give us wisdom. And in James 1:5 it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God will give you wisdom. But before he says that, he gives us the context of what God wants to give. When God gives wisdom, what it is this. God gives us the ability to be able to understand basically what he's trying to get out of us in the midst of crises. Or what he's trying to get out of us in the midst of making decisions. What does God really want? And he tells us that in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops. You can be assured when you're in crisis and you're trying to make decisions, God's first theme is not escape. It's perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work. That is, as you persevere, there's a goal so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. Wisdom in this context is the ability to be able to see that God desires to build into us maturity in Christ, to drive us to Himself, to cause us to trust Him in ways we have never trusted Him before, to humble us before Him so that we cast all of our cares, so we're not so independent. So then God has the opportunity to work His power in our lives in ways that He would never get the opportunity if we weren't in the crisis. So that when we come out and the wave is completed, we are deeper in our faith and deeper in our walk. Isn't that what we want? When I make a decision, I first try to figure out what God's goal is for me. So I clean, if it's a major decision, you first clean house spiritually. Okay, Lord, where am I not being thankful? Where am I not being content? Where am I not doing that? And then if I want to make a change or move, go for it. If it's wise. But we need to pray for wisdom. And so we need to see in the Word what purposes God has for us. And then we make our decisions. And we can use our desires. And in fact, my basic plans are to fulfill my desires at the right time, at the right place, in the right situation within the wisdom of God. And there's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for that. It may take time because of all the responsibilities I have, but it can be done. Sometimes you have to be honed down. Sometimes you have to be more reasonable. Sometimes. But that's okay. That's part of what life is all about. Secondly, we need to seek wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. We need to commit ourselves to wisdom. The first and primary issue after I've submitted to the revealed will of God is I really want to make a wise decision. Yes, I want to fulfill some of my desires. That's fine. But as I do it, I want to be wise. And a lot of times wisdom is timing. But you will never get there if you don't commit yourself to it. If you have committed yourself to escape, if you have committed yourself to fulfilling your desires alone, not caring about anybody else, you will play the fool. If you have committed yourself to making sure that wisdom is exercised, you will never play the fool. You've got to commit yourself to that. That's the issue. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 says this: "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she," that is personifying wisdom in this poetry, "for she is more profitable," wisdom is more profitable than silver, Proverbs 3, 14, "and yields better returns than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 8, or verse 7. "Wisdom is supreme, therefore get it." Get wisdom. "Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor." Third, we need to seek counsel from those who have wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18. "Make plans by seeking advice. If you wage war, obtain guidance." He says, make plans by seeking advice. And this is what I tell people who are young. Seek encouragement from your peers, but don't seek wisdom from your peers. If they had wisdom, they'd be our age. You seek wisdom from those who have worked out God's wisdom in their life farther down the journey. And one of the reasons of the beauty of the body of Christ is that we have people in our congregation who are ahead of you and me. Seek encouragement from your peers. Seek wisdom from those who have gone down the journey. And they will help you. And often they're waiting for people to ask them. I remember this guy who was like 60 years old. He said, "You know, it's amazing." He says, "I'm finally at a point where I can give wisdom, and now nobody's interested. I'm too old." You want to know what the legacy as fathers we ought to be giving to our children? Faith and wisdom. I want my kids to say about me is, "My dad taught me how to trust the Lord, and he taught me how to exercise wisdom." That's what I want. And I'm not talking about making mistakes. Making mistakes is part of gaining wisdom. The mistakes is not the issue. It's being foolish and making mistakes. Sometimes you can't tell what's going to happen. You get a job, and it's not what you want. You know? You thought you married Rachel, and you found Leah. You know, that's the way it goes. And so you decide, you know, after a certain period, I'm out of here. That's okay. Because we can't always anticipate. Sometimes we don't have the information the Lord allows that. So we understand maybe how to make decisions even better. The issue is never mistakes. The issue is, though, did we have the information and we didn't listen, we didn't care, we just plodded ahead. That's the real issue. Making mistakes is part of growth. It's part of wisdom. That's never the issue. So we need to seek counsel. Number four, we need to make a plan for decision based on wisdom and trust the Lord to direct. Look at Proverbs 16:9. And this is one of the key verses in understanding, making decisions, and how God works in non-moral areas. Proverbs 16:9. "In his heart, a man plans his course." A course is what you're going to do in a particular situation. It's a decision. But the Lord determines the steps. And what that means is this. It isn't, "Well, you can make whatever plans you want, but be assured I'm going to determine your steps." That's not what it means. It means this. You can be assured that when you make your plans, I will direct your steps. Isn't that what we want? Man makes his plans and can be assured that the Lord is going to direct his steps if he does it God's way. And he doesn't need to worry. The Lord's going to take care of it. He just presses ahead. That is an encouragement to make plans. And it's an encouragement to know God will do it. And sometimes a plan is as simple as making a decision. What a plan is this? In every decision, it means you thought it through, that's all. Sometimes you're in the store, you just take a moment to think it through. I want to buy this CD. I like it, I have the money, I'm going to buy it. Bingo. Simple decision. I want to buy this CD. Bought 5 CDs yesterday. I'm broke. Don't buy it. I mean, you just have to take a moment and think it through. That's kind of a mini plan. Not everything has to be planned out, you know? A plan is just a process of thinking through a decision. That's all it is. Sometimes the large plan, we're going to buy this house, I'm going to move here. Sometimes that plan may take 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, depending on the time of the Lord. Sometimes it may take an instant as you think it through for a moment. But what the point is this, think it through and exercise wisdom. That's the issue. And the Lord will work. Now, how does the Lord direct our steps? He does two things, I think. Number one is He provides or shuts off opportunities to either implement the plan that you've developed, the decision you've made, or part of it. Many times God deals with partial. Do not put God in a black and white box, all or none. God is not an all or none God. Life is not an all or none situation. Life is not black and white. I spend most of my time reorienting my plans. Why? Because I gather more information, things are happening. Paul spent a lot of his time simply reorienting his original plans. We say, oh, God's giving me a sign. Stop. Now, a good sign when God wants you to stop is you can't open the door. What God will do is He will open a door. He will shut a door so you can't get through. And I keep praying as long as it's a worthy goal until I absolutely can't get through. I've seen the Lord shut doors so hard. And I go, thank you, Lord. That's not being hard-headed if it's a good goal. If it's a bad goal, that is hard-headed. Or reorient your plans. You say, well, how do I know? Well, number one is we need to realize that the Bible never warns that that's a sign. Circumstances should not be treated as signs along the way, but rather as pieces of a puzzle in understanding what is the wisest thing to do. This is the best way to look at it. Think of it as Legos. Got a little table and you got about 20 Lego pieces. You're only going to be able to build with those Lego pieces. That's all you got. Well, when you're making this plan, you put this little Lego piece, you go, okay, you write the little plan down, I'm going to build this little thing. And all of a sudden, a Lego piece drops off the table. Okay, well, I'm not going to have the gate I thought I was going to have. That's circumstances. You don't think, well, that's a sign. Push the whole thing off the board. No, you look at it and you say, it becomes a puzzle piece, and you sit down and you say, okay, do I continue to want to build this? If it's large enough, you say, you know what? I don't want to do it all. Because that was a significant piece. See, you got to look at it that way. That's the way I do it. You look at it as a piece. And what God does will do that. And there are many times when God will work out situations like that. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 1 because I saw it before and I liked that one. Romans chapter 1. Paul, in fact, did this. He wanted to go to Rome. God kept him from going to Rome circumstantially. How else was the Lord going to do it? Occasionally he'll actually give revelation, but that was not the general way that God used work to Paul. God shut the door, but Paul kept wanting to go. Why? Because it was a good thing. If it's within the revealed moral will of God, and it's something that's not bad, you can continue trying to do it, but you've got to give time. You may have to rework it. You may have to cone it down. You may have to make it smaller. Maybe the window of opportunity is less. There are windows of opportunity in life. You take them, and then they pass. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of the Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. Paul was always praying. In my prayers, verse 10, at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. That was his prayer. He'd already made his plan. He says, verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. In order that I might have a harvest among you. He said, I wanted to get there to have a harvest, but I've been prevented so far. And now I'm praying that God will open the door. Paul didn't abandon his plan. Well, I guess the Lord doesn't want me to go to Rome, so I'll just go somewhere else. He said, in the meantime, I'll stay busy. Why? It was a good goal. It was within reason. It was reasonable. And he wanted to do it. And I often ask, what is a reasonable thing for a married man to do at my age with my amount of family, kids, and financial resources? What would be reasonable? Reasonable is often wise. See? And it means that things have to be shaved down, but that's okay. The second way he directs our steps is bringing people into our lives to give us more advice or more information that we didn't anticipate. And the way I look at it, again, is not as a sign, because the Bible doesn't warn it, but again, as a Lego piece. If you're building a Lego fortress, which is a decision or plan, and all of a sudden somebody says, hey, let me give you 5 more Lego pieces, you have to sit there and decide what you're going to do with them. Wow, I didn't think about building a tower. Maybe I will. Wow, I could take that whole wall off. Sometimes you'll get a piece of information, and it will cause you at a moment's notice to rework the plan. And I do it the same way. But that doesn't mean you get rid of it. It doesn't mean you wash it away. That piece will have something in it that will tell you in your own wisdom what to do with it, to be wise. If God wants you to change your plan, it'll be big enough. It'll be right, tailored for you, that will make you say, you know what, if that's not going to be part of it, I'm not interested. Or if that's it, I'm not interested. It's okay to do that. I've done that in a moment's notice. The night before a major decision. And as I told you last time, even after the decision was already made, I backed up because of more information and more situations. You say, well, what about if I don't have any peace or joy? Is that a sign from the Lord? Again, the way that I look at peace, because all of the verses talk about peace and joy are always salvation peace, they're always our peace as believers. When it comes to area of decision-making, non-moral, again, it's a Lego piece. What you do is you say to yourself a simple question, why don't I have peace? And 9 out of 10 times, there is something that is bothering you need to identify. Then when you identify it, then you say, is this really what I want and is wise based on identifying that? And many times it's something that you just simply don't want. And if it's wise not to do it, you can do that as well. And lastly, seek to fulfill your plan or decisions. Go. Waiting patiently for the Lord to direct your steps according to the time frame that is necessitated by wisdom and circumstances. Sometimes you're ready to make the decision. The decision is made. Go for it. You can make it in 2 minutes. Do it. Sometimes you're trying to make it in 2 minutes. Something happens. You have to wait. Wait for the Lord to work in it. You don't have to wait 5 weeks just because. Sometimes I do. It depends on the situation. Sometimes I wait for my emotions to die down. And that's when the plan necessitates it, or when circumstances do. You should be spending your time making a wise decision, so when you make it, you've done all the work. Proverbs 16:9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.